I think that the reaction, for example, of the mailmen, who are always denounced as one of the more reactionary, they are supposed to be the all-American types. And when we wanted to go down and leaflet the mailmen, for example, we were told, you're going to get killed if you go down there. Well, a lot of funny things happened during that mailman strike. When movement people were debating whether to leaflet GIs or not, because how do I have the right to tell a GI what to do, the mailman suddenly, a couple of mailmen from the various locals in town called up to some draft counseling officers and said, you guys counsel draftees and GIs? We said, yeah. They said, well, we want to counsel some of those guys. We're coming down to counsel them to desert. Then people went down to the mass meeting of the mailmen, all set to be beaten up by American reactionary labor, and discovered that their leaflets were being taken from them. Not in bunches, but one at a time, because people were interested. So the point is, I think this is not a time to try to convert the construction worker that was beating you up yesterday. But it's a time to look for those that haven't been doing that. And there is no such uniformity. And even the construction workers, even some of those, are beginning to see that this is somehow or another beginning to hurt them. By going to what?
Picnics, fun games, whatever. Since a lot of the universities are suspending their classes. Well, how do you intend, or do you have an idea of how you can keep the momentum of this strike going, and how you keep the student involved and up, like a committee or anything like that?
See, I don't think that there's any one answer that sort of works for all over the country, I don't think there's any organizer that can come into a terrain, that can come into a school where he doesn't know the people, and organize those people. There are always going to be people who are going to try to go off on picnics. But one of the things that's happening now is that there are fewer and fewer locations to go on those picnics. And if you close a school down, I believe, at this stage of the game, most of the students in that school are not going to be going on picnics. So I'm not really worried about that. And certainly they will not be going on picnics if there are things happening that are making sense in that local situation. So that rather than trying to worry about what you do about somebody else that's not doing anything, I think this is the time to get together with the people who want to be doing something and start something going. At that point, you can bring other people in. And I think they will be brought in. Because I don't think it's almost impossible now not to have a sense of what's going on. You don't have to read the paper. You don't have to read the radio. It's what's going on all around you. Yeah.
This morning there was supposed to be a stopping of all the major arteries in the city by all the colleges. Every college bus route take a certain bridge, stage a sit-down strike, and prevent all commuting traffic from coming into Manhattan. What happened, it was going to work up until about 5 o'clock in the morning, until NYU pulled out and said they're holding the solidity and they're going to go into their computer center and take over the building. So what happens is the mass media gets a hold of this and they say that the colleges are pulling out one by one, and there's now real communication between all the other schools, and everybody believes mass media, and what you have is a bunch of scared kids who pull out again when they go to work. And I think there should be some kind of system set up so that all the people in all the colleges can meet together and have some kind of communication so these things don't fail.
See, I just disagree with one point you were saying. I don't think what you have is a bunch of scared kids, because I don't think that the kids are scared. See? I really don't. I mean, there are some. But I think what's happening, the people who are running this country, whether it's the media or the war, are not going to roll over and play dead. They're in it for keeps. There can be no doubt about that. And that means they're going to fight back on every level they can, giving you misinformation and everything else. Now, most of us know already, or should know, how to read the media, right? Now, if the communication thing is lacking, you're absolutely right. There's got to be set up. There's got to be a functioning strike coordinating committee of students in this city, as in every city. It may very well be, it probably is the case, that an attempt to close down New York City this morning was in fact a premature attempt. But I don't think it's going to be premature for very much longer. See, one of the things that I think Washington is going to help, because it's going to become absolutely clear to anybody that has any doubts, that this government cannot even be petitioned anymore. Whether you believe that petitions can do any good or not, we're not going to be allowed within sight of the White House. And we're not going to be coming violently to that. We're going to be coming there non-violently to that White House, and we're not going to be allowed anywhere near it. And that's going to clear things up for a lot of people. And I think that momentum will build, and you come back next week, and that next week you may just be able to do that.
We received a phone call this morning which is very relevant to the discussion we've just had. It came from Vincent Corrigan, a graduate student at the New School, who informed us that there is a work stoppage committee in operation, and those interested in getting in touch with it should call 675-2700. One technical announcement. For some reason, we are getting a little bit of feedback. It appears that there may be somebody in the room who has a transistor radio on and is listening to this as it happens. If that's so, please turn it off, because you won't hear any more than what you're hearing through your God-given ears. We're not adding anything at 39th Street so that it's super duper. Also, when you speak from the floor, please try to keep in mind the need to speak loudly, possibly even more loudly than you think is necessary to have the person here understand you, because the microphone is not quite as sensitive as it might be, so speak up. Enough of that. The next speaker is Bela Abzug, who, well, the last time I saw her was yesterday on Wall Street, where she was speaking at the noontime gathering in memory of the Kent State for and in opposition to the war. She's been active in the peace movement and in anti-war activities for years and years. She has most recently been active in moratorium activities. She's an old friend, not of me personally, but of us. Bela Abzug.
Good afternoon. I think on behalf of all of us, I would like to thank WBAI for interrupting its marathon activity, which is so important to its survival, to help us get on with the business of a total survival in this program and in the efforts being made today and all over the country. You don't have to turn your transistor radio on to hear what's going on, because what's going on in this room is going on many streets in the city of New York, in many streets of the cities throughout this country, in many campuses throughout this country. And those who question whether we will be successful should get the answer that we will be. As far as the question was concerned a while ago about labor and how do we reach labor and how can we really turn this country around without labor, let me start off by saying a laborer or a member of a labor union is a man or a woman. A laborer or a member of a labor union is a tenant whose rents have gone out of sight. A member of a labor union is a parent who abhors violence to himself and more to his children as much as anyone else. Member of a labor union is a consumer who can't afford to buy the kind of food that every American family should have. A member of a labor union is a taxpayer, 66 cents of whose dollar goes to making war, to developing a military machine, while at home the fires of discontent escalate because we have no funds. And the reason I say that to you is yesterday on Wall Street, we had thousands of young people, and we had the people of Wall Street. And there was, at the moment, a confrontative situation. Sometimes we don't understand. But I found that when I turned to many of the people from Wall Street and said to them, "Gentlemen of Wall Street, not only are our lives in danger, not only are our children being killed here, and are we killing and being killed abroad, but our economy is in danger. And that which you stand for here on Wall Street is slipping away. So come on board and join us and help us so that together we can save our country, so that together we can save our economy, so that together we can build and make that America that is ours mean something to all of us, regardless of our class, regardless of our economic station, regardless of our aspiration, regardless of our view of society." I think the important thing is to recognize that President Nixon, sending the troops in to wipe out the enemy sanctuaries in Cambodia, has made it clear to the American people on all levels that there are some very serious enemy sanctuaries in Washington that the American people must act to wipe out. That enemy sanctuary is a president who acts without the consent of the American people, of the Congress of the United States, to continue the war in Vietnam, to extend it into Cambodia and to all of Southeast Asia. Never in the history of this country has a president acted without the prerogatives of the constitutional authority in the way that President Nixon has, and the American people have begun to understand it. The enemy sanctuary is a military bureaucracy which takes our lives and our resources and plunders them in battlefields at home and abroad. The enemy sanctuary is a Congress of the United States that must share very large responsibility for allowing this country to careen crazily into militarism, imperialism, and war without placing any check upon the President or the Pentagon. A Congress that is supposed to represent you and me and has the power to represent us through the means of utilizing its control over appropriations for war or peace. A Congress that has callously abdicated its power. And it seems to me that what is being said today in the meeting rooms, in the radio stations, in the streets, in the universities, all over this country, and what will be being said, is that the American people will no longer abdicate their power. That what the American people are saying, the young and the old, is that we will no longer allow the killing at home and abroad in the service of tyranny. We will no longer allow our human and material resources to serve the twin actions of reaction and inhumanity. What the American people are going to be saying and are saying is that this country and the question of whither it goes, the question of life and death and peace, the question of whether we're going to use our energies for the benefit of people, we're going to permit people to share in the largest bounty that any country in the world has, if we're going to permit people to participate in the resources and the energies of this country, that we, the American people, have to say that we are fighting today to restore the power to the people. We are fighting today to restore the power to the people because it belongs to us. In the framework of our constitutional government, it belongs to us. That's what the Constitution is all about. People have the sovereign and paramount power to determine the course of foreign policy and domestic policy. And we are uniting to fight the military expansionist policy of our government abroad and its repressive policy at home. We are uniting to fight against the malignant neglect which permits millions of people to starve while we feed the voracious military machine. What can we do? What should we do? In Washington, when we go this weekend, it is to make manifest that the American people, young and old, are determined that we can restore to ourselves the power, we can take back the country to the people and to our representatives in Capitol Hill. I believe that although the Congress has callously abdicated its power, that we must not allow that to stop us. We must demand of all of the men in Congress and the few women that there are that they assert their power to represent us in Congress. It is true that the House of Representatives today failed once again. It is true that the House of Representatives failed once again to restrain the excessive power of the President by refusing to amend the authorization bill for the war and for the military budget. But tomorrow and the next day, we must mount this pressure. The Senate of the United States will be considering various resolutions to cut off the funds from Cambodia. To cut off the funds means the beginning, not the end. The beginning of the assertion of power by people reflected by representatives in the Senate. There will be many activities here that one can engage in. Tomorrow there is talk of a strike. What did we talk about when we mean strike? We mean that the people in this country are determined that they will no longer allow a course of government to continue without their consent. It means that we will organize in our communities, in our organizations, in our schools, in our offices, and in our factories, wherever we are, to do something to show that we oppose that which is going on, that we will no longer tolerate the killing in Cambodia and Kent, and that we will give one act or show some sign of how and why we will not agree. Tomorrow, people will be in the streets trying to begin the withdrawal of their support and the assertion of their power. Each place can find a way in which to do this. It seems to me that those of you who can go to Washington will go there to make clear that the American people are beginning to organize a movement which is going to restore the country back to the people. In addition, it seems to me that every effort should be made to organize in your communities to visit and to protest and to discuss and to pressure every elected official, every congressman, every senator. Make it a condition of his continuance in office, because this is an electoral year. And I urge this upon you, whether or not you are turned off or turned into the electoral system, it's really something that can become a part of a movement of pressure that can help us make some change. It seems to me that what we should do is in demand and insist of every elected official, certainly starting first with the congressional delegations in New York and whatever cities you come from, and going down to the city legislators and the state legislators and the mayors and the governors, all those who seek to govern must be governed by us, the people, and must take our instruction. And it seems to me that we must say to them that you must utilize, particularly in the Senate and in the House, your power to cut off funds, to act to cut off funds, and particularly in the Senate, visit Javits and Goodell. And then you must insist that they take no other action in Congress. Just as we are talking about, we the people on strike, we expect the Congress of the United States to go on strike, not to use their power except in one way, to use their power to see to it that no other act is taken in Congress and the Senate until we are taking out of Vietnam, until we end the war in Cambodia, until we stop our incursions into Indochina. It seems to me that massive pressure upon the institutions of our government requires that we concentrate it upon those who at present represent us, and that we also seek to support those who seek to represent it based upon that kind of condition. No business as usual at home, in our shops, in our schools, in the streets, no business as usual in the Congress of the United States, except the business of getting us out of Vietnam, getting us out of Cambodia, and getting us out of Indochina.
WBAI, New York.
To the women in the audience here and in the listening audience, you have a lot of political power. You represent more than half of the people in this country. Women are very much concerned today about their liberation, as are many people, blacks, and the poor minority. That power must now be set to work in behalf of withdrawing us from Vietnam, from Indochina. That power must be organized. This year there will be no Mother's Day. We will boycott Mother's Day. We will instead say that the women of this country are going to stop this war. The women of this country must utilize their potential and immediate power for the purpose of leading the population in helping to preserve the population many of the women create. Women will be meeting tomorrow in front of Senator Javits' office at 11:30, Women Strike for Peace, to say that we want from Senator Javits not only utilizing of his power in the Senate to cut off all funds from the wars, but that he lead in saying that there will be no business in that Senate except the business of taking us out of Vietnam and except the business of taking us out of Cambodia. I urge the women to join Women Strike in that connection. Starting after Saturday and Sunday, there will be a consistent effort being made to vigil and pressure on the same levels that I've described here today at the homes of the senators and the congressmen. And I urge that you participate in that. I urge all of you to recognize that we have the possibility of putting this thing to work for America and for peace in this country and in the world, that we have a solemn obligation to accomplish it, that whatever activity we engage in is an activity of bringing back America to the people, allowing and determining that the American people will assert its paramount power to make this country work for people, for our needs in our cities, for the needs of the black and the poor, for the right to be free, for the right to have decent homes, decent schools, decent streets, mass transit that we can afford, a kind of life in which we can look forward to as a future, and not a life that will destroy us if we allow this to continue much further. Thank you.
WBAI New York, you're listening to a live emergency conference on Southeast Asia coming from our church in New York.
Same thing we did before. We'll stop now for about 7 or 10 minutes of questions or comments or whatever, as long as it's nothing indecent, obscene, or boring. I want to, before we get to that, ask all of you who are there by the door, if you want to move in to the wide open spaces here. I think it's hard to hear over there. And if anybody wants to move, please move now, because we can't hear the questions while you're shuffling around. If you'd prefer to stay over there, that's fine with us. While the movement's going on, let me subject you all to a brief reminder that we are indeed in the middle of WBAI's marathon. This is particularly for those at home. But we have suspended the marathon, which is essential to our ongoing purposes because of our feeling that this is the kind of programming we do best. And if you agree with us, if you're listening now, please call 826-0880 and pledge your support. And those of you in the room, if you are subscribers and want to pledge something additional, or if you are not subscribers and would like to become subscribers, we have people downstairs who can take care of you after this meeting is over. And if there is a break in the program, we're going to be able to take pledges here. I think it's nice that all of us are here today. It makes me, as someone who normally sits in a room with just a microphone and engineers and people on the staff, it makes me feel good to see a lot of people who listen to WBAI, who have come from wherever they live or work to be here today. And I'm glad that you all could make it. Now, questions, comments, whatever it may be, and please speak up so that those listening at home are able to hear what you have to say.
In the majority of the strikes and demonstrations that I know about, a lot of groups seem to feel that since there's a lot of momentum that's been built up, they can put in their gripe, and in this way, they're exploiting all of us who feel that our cause is what we're striving for, and God only knows what cause the press is going to put in as the ostensible reason for the strike. So how do you make the decision of whether you strike and risk being exploited, or not strike, and perhaps by omission be going for the cause which you're demonstrating against?
I could only, let me try to answer that. I understand your dilemma. There are different people, different, or we're all different human beings. Everybody has different short-range and long-range goals. I think that at the moment, I think it's quite clear that most people who are coming together are protesting the war in Cambodia and are protesting the killing in Kent. And I think what we're really saying is that you're striking against those things. You're striking against that, but you're also striking against the kind of society in many ways which has allowed this to take place. And you're striking against the president having taken these steps without the consent of the American people, and of the whole potential of the breakdown of the morality and the humanity and the concept of our American society. Now, we can't help it if people don't agree with you and you don't agree with other people, or I don't agree with you and I don't agree with the fellow or the gal next to me on a number of translations as to what's happening and what I want to do. We have got to do what we can about showing as large a number of people, American people, who are determined to fight against the war and to bring peace here and to end this bloody mess. And I can't give you any other counsel on that. And you have to try to conduct yourself in the way that you can to make your message clear, in a way that you possibly can.
I just want to say that someone told me that they were listening at home and now they've come down here, but they had considerable difficulty hearing the questions from the floor. So please yell. Make it so loud that even though you may feel foolish yelling at us in the room here, the people at home can hear what you're saying. I'd rather not do that unless the question was, how about paraphrasing the questions, if you missed that. I'd rather not do that because paraphrasing means it has to go through my mind. I'm not good enough to repeat it simultaneously, and I'd rather not paraphrase it. If we have to, I will. But I think if you just stand and shout, even though it's going to be a little bit foolish perhaps, it'll get the job done. Let's try it anyway. If it doesn't work, I'll paraphrase.
York this weekend?
Well, in different communities, there are other several different kinds of community activities. Are you from New York City?
The commitment of your life to him, and then let me know about it so that I can pray for you. Why, Dr. Harold Saylor
will be vigiling and pressuring on the homes of congressmen and senators. There are activities in some of the campuses, although many people are moving towards Washington to try to have a mighty show on Saturday. Does anybody want to answer that question in specifics?
There's one meeting at the Ethical Culture Society at 64th Street, and back with Jeanette Raymond.